National interest this week is back to talking about coronavirus, because you know what, it is now the topmost issue on our minds, the topmost concern, much worse than the Chinese in eastern Ladakh, because this affects each one of us directly, our families, people who really matter to us, our colleagues. And also a few pointers have come in today, which I don't think, I would not say that these are really thrilling pointers. These are not pointers that we feel excited about. And I will tell you three. One, today Israel has more or less declared that it is out of the category of a COVID-affected country because it has vaccinated its entire population. It's a small country, we know. It's a population of 1 crore, but it has vaccinated the entire country. So its COVID positive cases have fallen by 98%. So the pandemic is over there for now. At the same time, if Israel is small, the much bigger China, on the other hand, has announced indirectly its own exit from the pandemic with its first quarter results after the pandemic showing more than 18.3% growth. That is really growth with Chinese characteristics. And on the same day, in New Delhi, our Prime Minister Narendra Modi, what's he doing? He's not wasting his time. He's not wasting his time either campaigning or in ceremonials. He is sitting, chairing a top-level meeting of his officials, ministers, everybody to review what? To review what can be done about the crisis over the shortage of medical oxygen in our hospitals as COVID numbers are rising all over the country. So before I cut to the chase, let me also remind you of the fact that at this point of time, we have more than a dozen young reporters and photographers traveling all over the country and reporting what is happening with the coronavirus situation right now. There is Jyoti Yadav in Lucknow, whose stories you are seeing, Simrin Sarur in Mahakumbh at Haridwar. There is Praveen Jain and Sonia Agrawal in Ahmedabad, in Gujarat. There is Angana Chakrabarty in Maharashtra. A lot of them are women. There is also Manisha Mandal and Samyak Pandey in Punjab, Anisha Bedi in Rajasthan. There are Urjita Bhardwaj, who is actually just recovered from COVID, and Unnati Sharma, both in Haryana. And soon we will have a team in Madhya Pradesh as soon as we get their test results, because before we send anybody out, we need their test results. So we have other bylines that you know. In fact, three of them are awaiting their test results. As soon as we get them and two are clear, I hope all three are clear, we will send two of them to Madhya Pradesh. All this takes a lot of doing, all this takes a lot of expense. So I am once again repeating my appeal to you, please don't take it as a freebie. Please don't take it as free. It is a cheap thing to do to consume news done to professional quality for free. Pay for it. I am sharing a link with you. Please take a paid subscription. And I know some of you ask me what are the benefits for subscribers. So there are several benefits. You will see them on my screen right now. You can see them. There are 6 newsletters every week called The Fine Print, done by my colleagues, my fellow editors. There is also Editor's Choice, which I sit and put together personally every week for you from my readings of the global media. Please check it out. And from next week, we will also give our subscribers exclusive access to our online events and discussions. For example, we had former National Security Advisor Shiv Shankar Menon talking about his latest book today, and also the exclusive right to ask questions, also the exclusive space to write their views, not just their letters, but also their articles. So all this is there, and a lot more is coming up. So once again, please don't do the cheap thing by consuming news for free, because you know what comes for free, it comes loaded in something. So having done that, let me get back to what we are talking about. The burden of my argument today, is that when China is declaring its recovery in such a spectacular fashion, when Israel is declaring that it's out of the COVID crisis, it's no longer a COVID hit country, what happened to India? Israel at one end, China at the other. Where did India lose its way? Because until a couple of months back, it looked like we were the first major country and the major economy after China, and nobody trusts China's numbers, to have broken out of this. How did we get here? And then I say, that before we even ask the question, how did we get here, we first have to do some plain speaking and say, where exactly are we? We have to hold the mirror to the government. Now, in a country of India's size, 1.38 billion people, huge military power, nuclear weapons, what is the Prime Minister of the country doing, holding a meeting to look at the supply or shortages of medical oxygen in the country? In fact, as I was writing this article, I could see on the TV screen, India Today TV, the anchor actually telling you about all the oxygen cylinders that you can buy online for home use on Amazon and the rest. How did we get into this mess? It's almost like a war starts with a major power like China and goes on for some time, and the Prime Minister has to hold a meeting because the armed forces are running short of missiles. What exactly happened? How did we get here? And where we've got right now is a troublesome situation. So if we take stock of where we are right now, it is Narendra Modi's biggest crisis. It is much bigger than any national security crisis he's faced so far, either internally or externally. It's even bigger than the economic attrition that we faced last year, because that attrition was pre-calculated. In fact, when he announced the lockdown, he had said in that speech that I know it's going to hurt our economy very badly. So we knew what we were walking into. At that price, we saved ourselves from the first wave. So in fact, to use a more popular expression these days, we dodged that first bullet. So how come the same bullet is now coming back and hitting us? Did we drop our guard? We know that the virus is clever, the virus mutates. Also, the virus waits for you to get complacent. It's when you get complacent that it comes back and ambushes you. And that is what has happened now. Now, already the COVID numbers are twice as high as they were at the peak last year, that is mid-September. Twice as high and rising. There is no sign as yet of tapering or of bending the curve. And with so much happening in the open, from election campaigning to Kumbh Mela to so many other fairs, people had completely dropped their guard. In this situation, it's very difficult to see how this will come back in control very quickly, unless, God forbid, there is another catastrophic or economy destroying lockdown. You know what that will mean for India's economy and the poor in India. So I am saying this week that this crisis is now so severe that this can undermine and unravel the Modi government. Because in this case, there is no foreign power to blame. In this case, there is no opposition to blame. So what happens when people get really frustrated? Who do they blame? They blame the rulers, because people may be at fault. I know that we the people are also at fault because we became careless, etc., etc. But the people are a very undefined entity. So the people are represented by the government, and people take the cue from their government, yatha raja tatha praja, as we say. So if you see your top leaders campaigning in elections, addressing rallies of tens of thousands without any masks, without any social distancing, without any precautions, if you see religious fairs of all kinds happening, including the huge big Kumbh Mela, you think that things are back to normal, that normalcy has been declared. And it is a very welcome thing. So for people to drop their caution is easy, because what they are doing is they are taking the cue from their rulers. And particularly this becomes even tougher to ignore this when the rulers are popular, because the rulers are popular because people trust them. People see them dropping their guard, and people think, yes, the problem is over. I can also drop my guard. The firing has stopped. I can walk out of my trenches. And suddenly the firing starts again. That's the situation in which India finds right now. While we are saying this, this isn't something that anybody around Narendra Modi is likely to tell him. Because you know what? Strong men do not build their inner circles with people who can speak contrarily to them, or who can give them the bad news, or who can tell them what is wrong, or who can be critical of their actions. In the course of time, all strong men have themselves surrounded by yes men or women, if you want me to be politically correct, and then they all know what they have to say. Because if Narendra Modi did not have that kind of environment around him, somebody would have told him on his staff, the Prime Minister, sir, please don't wear this suit, it's not appropriate. That's when Obama came to India, and you know that suit led to that suit boot ki sarkar, jibe, and the sort of reversal on some economic reform steps at that point of time, which changed India's political economy. Similarly, if he had people around him who could speak truth to power, and they are his followers, someone could have said, sir, it's not a good idea to have that stadium named after yourself. What is the big deal? But nobody would say it. And because nobody would say it, people like us have to say it. Because you know what? Even Narendra Modi would remember from his RSS discourses and his training days that Bhakt Kabir said is quoted very often in RSS discourses, which is Nindak Niyare Rakhiye Angan Kuti Chhavaye Bin Pani Sabun Bina Nirmal Kare Subhaye. That means keep your critics close to you. Keep them in your courtyard. Keep them in the four walls of your house. Listen to their criticism without annoyance. Because if you listen to their criticism and if they point out your flaws and you listen to them, then you can cleanse yourself of those flaws without even needing soap and water. This was written several hundred years ago, and this is part of the native Indian wisdom for a very long time. So to have critics around you is very important. But if you don't have them, someone has to say it. And what we are doing in these cases, we are holding up the mirror to him and his government to tell them just how bad this situation is and what the consequences can be going ahead unless a change of direction is made now. Now look at this picture from another angle. This was also the moment when India's soft power should have been seen by the world in its full glory. This was a moment of glory for India's soft power. The soft power in this case was India being the pharmacy of the world, India being the vaccine capital of the world, or if there was a vaccine superpower in the world, if there was a vaccine balance of power in the world, then India would be the sole superpower, because India makes more vaccines than anybody in the world. And India had manufacturers who was ready to make relevant mass use vaccines. How come we got ourselves in a situation where at home we are scrounging for oxygen and we are going around the world looking to import vaccines? This is happening at a time when Britain, which gave an Indian company the license to manufacture a vaccine, AstraZeneca vaccine, what's called as Covishield in India, is now complaining that this company has produced 50 lakhs of these vaccines, they are sitting in crates but cannot send them to Britain because of government restrictions on exports. And you know what? These vaccines these vials are also labeled AstraZeneca. They are not labeled Covishield because these were made for export, so these can't even be used in India. So can you imagine if Boris Johnson comes and if he were to point at something like this, does the Prime Minister know it? I don't know. Has somebody told him this? I don't know. Is he supposed to know it? I'd say somebody's supposed to know it in the system and do something about it. So we've got dug ourselves into a big, deep, bad hole. But you know what? It's not impossible to get out of it. What you need is some realism and some humility. So when you have humility, you have to accept where you've gone wrong. So first of all, we've gone wrong in declaring victory too soon. In September, remember mid-September, when we peaked and we began to decline and decline, there didn't seem to be any particular reason why we were declining so heavily, while many of the other countries, richer countries, America, Britain, many countries of Europe, Brazil, Russia, they had the graphs rising and lots of people dying. So okay, we thought there were many theories that there was the India exception, etc., etc. But whatever it was, we also knew that this virus has multiple waves. It keeps coming back. Now, that is not something that you expect Janta to know. That you expect experts to know, people in the government to know, because they are looking at what's happening all over the world. Epidemiologists, virologists, immunologists, public health people, civil servants, politicians, they are all talking amongst themselves. Also, it was around that time that it became evident that there was going to be not one vaccine, but many vaccines available. Now, many countries at that point, what did they do? They went ahead and booked large numbers of the vaccine. So almost every major country called vaccine manufacturers, either in their own country or vaccine manufacturers elsewhere. For example, a lot of Europeans reached out to American manufacturers who also have manufacturing facilities in Europe to book their numbers in advance. And they asked them, what do you need? You need money, we'll give you money. You need some export, import issues sorted out, we will sort those out if they are affecting your raw material. But we want this many vaccines. So they all reserved their vaccines. Even America, remember Donald Trump gave a lot of money to vaccine manufacturers, and so did most of the other countries. So when the vaccines came, doses were available to us. In India, we were complacent, thinking that, oh, ultimately we will make all these vaccines. Now, even at that point, if we had ordered enough vaccines to be stockpiled, maybe these orders were placed, say, in November, December. Remember, the world began vaccinating in early December. By mid-December, it was in full swing in Britain and in America. If we had placed our orders in November, because we knew that these at least one vaccine was cleared, the AstraZeneca Covishield vaccine, and stockpiling had started, today we would not be in this situation where we are now settled in a cruise control of about 3 million vaccines a day. We can't do more than that. You saw the 4 days of Prime Minister's Tikka Utsav. In fact, after the Tikka Utsav, even he hasn't spoken much about it, nor has his government very much, because the average, daily average over those 4 days was, if anything, a little bit lower than the daily average of the preceding 4 days. And after that, it hasn't picked up further. In fact, yesterday, it was only 27 lakhs, did not even make it to 3 million. So you can see that India simply does not have the enough vaccine. And India's manufacturers, who were supposed to give this vaccine to the whole world, one of the reasons Jair Bolsonaro, such as he is the Brazilian strongman, he had hailed India as the Hanuman bringing the Sanjeevani to his country and to the rest of the world, was because India is the pharmacy of the world. India has now let itself down. It is, for the moment, it is still pharmacy of the world. For these next 2-3 months, it is not sufficiently the pharmacy of India itself, and in the process, lives can be lost and work hours can be lost and the economy can be damaged. So first of all, we have to accept that these are things we did wrong, and then see, look forward from there, what can be done to fix it. So in governance terms, there was a couple of more mistakes made. So one mistake was, when government of India takes charge of something, when Bharat Sarkar, Sarkare Hind takes charge of something, they think they know the best. Nobody can tell them what to do. In this case, they had special laws, special powers, the Pandemic Act, the Epidemic Act. So they had control over their citizens' lives of the kind they've never had. Any power can go to anybody's head, but even if intentions are all right, so any power can then make you inbreeding. When Narendra Modi first came to Delhi as Prime Minister, he used to tell people that his biggest discovery and disappointment in Delhi was that Delhi worked in silos, that the central government worked in silos, and the silos didn't talk to each other. So the full force of Team India never was able to bring to bear in any crisis or any opportunity. And he said that his job was to break these silos and to build a larger team so everybody works towards a common purpose. In this case, it looks like the COVID team and this pandemic response team also became a silo within itself and stopped listening to others, and they did not have their ear to the ground. They had no idea what was going on. The second mistake that was made was the market. Now, governments also believe that they can do it all by themselves, and governments have healthy contempt of markets. Remember, I am not saying bureaucracies, I am saying governments. Governments have healthy contempt of the markets, or you can say unhealthy contempt of the markets, depending on which side you are. So anybody who gets power thinks, what are the markets? I can control the markets because I can control the businessmen. But market has its own way. And why do you fight the market? The market can be an ally. In this case, the government completely cut the market out of the situation. So the government decided who will make which vaccine, how many vaccines, at what price will these be sold, who will get it, what age group, at what time, but most importantly, this is the price at which it will be sold, and there will be only one buyer, namely me. So monopoly buyer, fixed price, fixed delivery system, and a complete cutting out of the market. Now, as I said, all governments do this because governments don't like the markets, but it is doubly surprising that Narendra Modi's government did it because he knows the markets, and usually he's been able to employ the market to his benefit or the benefit of the purpose that he has in mind. In this case, it's been a failure. So what is the way ahead now? There's only one way ahead now, which is to do what you can, import for a moment. Imports will now start. I think Sputnik and Johnson & Johnson will be the first vaccines to be imported in some numbers. So import the vaccines for now, but do whatever you can do. Some things have been done today with Bharat Biotech. I think some money has been given for them to enhance their production capacity. But that will also take 2 months to 3 months making an impact. This at this 3 million a day, the gap between the crisis, between the challenge and what we are achieving is growing every day. This will not cut. This has to go to at least 6 to 8 million vaccines a day within about 2 weeks. That can only happen if all manufacturers put their heads down. That can only happen if the government gives up its bureaucratic powers and also if it embraces the market. Because you know what? Otherwise, all these pandemic entrepreneurs who we made fun of last year because they were predicting lakhs and lakhs, millions and millions of Indians dead, and that didn't happen and they were disappointed and they've been licking their wounds and nursing their pride since then, they will come back. Now, that doesn't look nice to us, but that is not the real worry. The real worry is that a lot of fellow Indians would have died. And let me add, quite avoidably so. So we have a solution. This enemy is a bad one. Just when we were complacent, it's come back to ambush us. But unlike last time, this time there's a difference. We have a weapon. That weapon is all these vaccines. So we now have to unleash these with our full power in the fullest, the largest numbers possible, whatever it takes.